this age of decadence, lack of direction and purpose, God has raised seven to raise models of integrity and power. Models that rise above the limit of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances to dimensions beyond their imaginations. Come, let God show you how the vehicle of grace can take you from where you are to where He has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of Life. Join God's choice servant for the world of His grace.
By the grace of God, I want to minister on what I've entitled, Jesus is calling you. Somebody say, Jesus is calling me. Jesus is calling us. Matthew chapter 11, we'll read verses 27. Let's take it from 27 to verse number 30. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 to 30. The word of God says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Verse 28 says, this is the anchor scripture for the month of January. Verse 28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and lean of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Let's look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 22 and 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 22. The word of God is saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day. Verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Can we read this last verse 23 again? 1, 2, go. If any man will come, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Whose cross? His cross. Daily. Is it Jesus' cross? Your cross. Jesus has his own cross. And he has given you your own cross. And he says, deny yourself, take your own cross, just like the way I took my own cross, and follow me. He's not saying, help me to carry my cross. He's saying, take your own cross. Let us be carriers of the cross and follow him. Hear me this morning. God is always and still calling people. God is always calling, but majority are deliberately refusing to heed to his call. There is a call. Every day of our lives, God is daily calling us. He calls us through the examples that we see. He calls us through the happenings around us. He calls us through situations and circumstances surrounding us. He calls us even through our delays. He calls us through our denials. Every day of our lives, God is daily calling us. Even in our failures, God is speaking. He's calling men. He's calling women. calling children. But most people are deliberately refusing to heed to his call. John chapter 5 verse 40 and verse 43. John chapter 5 verse number 40. John 5:40. The word of God says, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." Refuse. "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." Verse 43. Verse number 43. The word of God says, "I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not." Came in his Father's name. Most of us Christians, even those who are born again, receive him not. He said, "If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive." And that is a picture of what is happening in Christendom today. Most of us are refusing to heed to the call of Jesus Christ, but we are heeding to the calls of others who are lesser than Jesus. Jesus is calling you this morning. Jesus is calling us this morning. Many are called, but only a few are chosen. Why? Because only a few respond to the call and to the will of God. Matthew chapter 22 verse number 14. Matthew 22 verse 14. The word of God says, "Many are called, but few are chosen." Can I tell you one truth this morning? I said it in Extra Project, but let me repeat it again. That the truth about life and about the Christian race is that only a relative few will make heaven. May you be among those few. Can I say it again? It does not matter what is preached. It does not matter what we hear. The truth about life and about the end is that only a relative few will make heaven. Can I pray for us? May we be among the few. If you look at history in the Bible, you look at history from God's word, you will discover that at every time God wants to deliver his people, only a few were delivered. In the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, only a few was delivered. When God wanted to bless Abraham, he brought out how many? Just a few delivered. When God destroyed the world with water, with flood, only a few was delivered. Hear me also. The truth is, when the rapture will come, when the trumpet will sound, only a few will be raptured. Can I pray for us again? May we be among the few. I say, may we be among the few. For those of us that were in Extra Project, we're looking at introduction to Extra Project, and then we discovered that when it was time for the people of God who were in captivity, when it was time for them to go and build Jerusalem that was destroyed, when it was time for them to go out of the over 3 million that were captured, when the king decided to release them to go and build their city, only a few left to go and build. Majority of them were still happy in their slavery. Majority of them were still comfortable, quote unquote, in slavery. So many Christians are comfortable where they are, comfortable in that small blessing, comfortable in that small corner of your room. You are comfortable with that little you are doing for God. And God is saying, you can do more for me. God is saying, you can do much for me. You are too comfortable, sir. We are too comfortable. We have refused to carry our cross and follow Jesus. We have refused to deny ourselves and follow Him. So many things are struggling with the kingdom in our lives. There are so many things that are struggling with the kingdom of God in your life. Can you deny yourself and carry your cross and follow Him? Jesus is calling. I don't know who I'm talking about this morning, but Jesus is calling you. You have stayed long in that mess. Jesus is saying, can you just step out of that mess? Can you step out of that sin? Can you step out of that terrible situation? Deny yourself and for once, show me that you are born again. For once, let the world know that you are not just a Christian, but you are a true Christian. Deny yourself. Carry your cross. And follow. Somebody said, I will follow. Only a few will make heaven. It's not a curse. It's reality, sir. It's reality. In Matthew chapter number 7, verse 13 to 14. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 13 to verse number 14. The NIV translation. Can you give us NIV translation? NIV translation. NIV. The word of God says, enter through NIV translation, please. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. You know that the gate that you are going through, you know that the life you are living is a gate that will lead you to destruction. You know, but you still walk through it. You know that what you are doing is bad. You keep on doing it. You know that the lifestyle, your lifestyle is contrary to the will of God, to the purpose of God, but you keep on doing it. The road is broad. We are in the world, but we are not part of the world. Verse number 14. He said, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Only a few find it. That is why sometimes it doesn't surprise me anymore, but we'll still be pleading and we'll still be talking as God gives us the grace. It doesn't surprise me anymore when you don't feel like coming for extra projects where you hear the word of God. You are in your house and you are doing nothing, and still you don't feel like nothing pricks you. You don't feel bad. You are not bothered. It's not as if you are in your place of work, or you are delayed somewhere, or you are out of town. You are in town. And then you can still comfortably sit in your house and you are watching movie or football, and you are comfortable that God is somewhere waiting for you where you belong. God is there waiting for you. God is there talking to people, and you are not there. Now let me tell you what you have just done. What you have just done is that you have disobeyed God. You have disobeyed. Can I tell you the truth this morning? Are you okay with me this morning? What you have done is that you have disobeyed God. You have disobeyed His servant. And let's assume that the trumpet blasts at that moment, and you know you are supposed to be in God's presence, and deliberately you refuse to be in God's presence. What happens? May it not happen to you. May the rapture not catch you unaware. You are saying amen. Let your amen be louder. He said, but small is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. Sir, if the gate is narrow and that narrow gate is what we lead to life, then I rather choose what? The narrow gate. I rather choose the narrow gate. My father called for a meeting, I've said it before, when he heard that I've given my life to Christ. And for him, it was an embarrassment. It was an embarrassment coming from a Muslim home. And then all the families are Muslims. I have known my family from my day one, Muslims, my family's relations, Muslims. And my father called for a meeting and gave me an option. The option to choose between life and death. The option to choose between Christianity and Islam. It was a narrow gate for me because I knew what I was going to lose. I knew what I was going to miss in that family. And then I lifted up my hand, called for a family meeting with the relations, came from, and then they sat down and I lifted up my hand. He thought because of the presence of his brothers and sisters that I will not embarrass him. I lifted him and I said, I rather choose life, Christianity, than Islam. I give up Islam today. And my father got angry and stood up from where he was. As he was coming towards my direction, I ran out, entered my room, locked the door, lifted up my voice and pray and worship God. And my father said to me, he said, because of what you have done, I will no longer be involved in your matters. I will no longer be involved in your school fees. I was still in secondary school. I will no longer be involved in your school fees. I will not anything that has to do with you. But I went through pains. And there were times that there was no money to eat. I remember one day it was terrible and I needed just to eat something. No money from anywhere, no help. And I summoned courage to go and see my father. In fact, I sent my sister to my father. I will never forget that day. I needed 50 naira. You know, those days, we young boys, those days, what was trending then was bread and akara. I don't know what is trending now. You buy the akara, you open the bread to you put inside, and that takes you for the whole day. And then I was at the door hearing my dad talking to my sister. Chibi said he's a Christian. Let the God help him. Why is he coming to me? And truly he brought out the 15 and he began to rain curses on the 15 naira. And I was hearing him. And then when my sister brought the money, I said to my sister, take it back to my dad. My God, whom I serve, will deliver me. God indeed delivered. I don't know how I went to school, how I came out of school. God delivered me. And one day my father said to me, he said, indeed, the God you serve is God indeed. And on his dying bed, gave his life to Christ before he died. But I was so happy because he could see that the God that we are serving is able to deliver us with or without the help of anybody. If truly you are serving God, it might look as if you are stranded, sir. You will never be stranded. God will always make a way for you. And that is for those who have truly denied themselves and carried their cross and followed Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This morning, I'm just looking at come unto me. Jesus is calling. God is looking for people that will have a communion. He's inviting people for companionship, for a relationship, a deep relationship. God is looking for Christians. We're talking about come unto me. Sometimes we think it is just for the unbelievers. No, sir. That scripture is deep. People who will come and seek his face. People who will not just seek his face, but will hear what he's saying. People who will not take any decision until God instructs them. People who will not do anything until they hear from God. A relationship. Invitation for companionship. Because of my time, let's look at the purpose of his call. The purpose of his call. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Purpose number one is salvation. Salvation, sir. Many answer the altar call, but they don't understand what they have come to do. There are many of us seated, I'm sorry to say, there are many of us seated who have given their lives to Christ. You have given your life to Christ, but you don't understand what you have done. You didn't get it. Most of us did not follow up on our salvation. You didn't get it. Salvation is more than coming out and say the sinner's prayer. Most of us, we gave our lives to Christ, and as we are going out of the church, we drop that life here in church. Because your life is not different. You are still the same person. You still have the same character. Nothing has changed in your life. People are still complaining about you the same way they've always been complaining. You are still an headache. You are still a trouble to people in your environment, to people in your place of work. You still backbite, you still gossip, and you do it at will, and you are happy doing it. You still carry two people's head and hit them together. You do all sorts, and you said you have given your life to Christ. Something is wrong with your salvation. Am I talking to somebody this morning? Somebody said to me one day, he said, why your church is prosperity? I said, it's not prosperity. It's as God directs his servant. Lighthouse is balanced. Lighthouse is balanced. We preach prosperity. We preach salvation. We preach healing. We preach everything that is in the scriptures. And that's why Lighthouse is all about grace. Grace encompasses all. There are some churches, they only deal with prayers. We also preach prayer here. It's grace. There are some churches, all they do is deliverance. That is their calling. But we, our calling is grace. So grace covers all. So now we are talking about salvation. We are talking about come unto me. So don't feel like there is no prophecy today. You might not get prophecy today. You might not get it today. In fact, what we are saying, if you get it, is enough prophecy to change your life. In this month of January, so many don't understand what it means to surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. To surrender your life to Jesus Christ is to give full control of your life to Him. Deny yourself, carry your cross, and follow me. It's to give full control. God wants to have full control of your time. God wants to have full control of your money. God wants to have full control of your business. God wants to have full control of your body. God wants to have full control of your material things. Everything about you. Our father was talking to us sometime about somebody that gave his life to Christ, and they took him for water baptism. And you know, water baptism symbolizes two things. When you are dipped in water, it means your old self is buried, right? Old things are passed away. And then when you come out of the water, you identify with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Behold, all things have become new. And they took the guy to the river and then dipped him in water, and then he raised one of his hand up out of the water. And the pastor was like, what is it? What is it? He said he doesn't want the money in his hand to be buried in the water. This one cannot go with what. There are some of us like that. Our hands are up like this. You don't want to let it go. Jesus says, deny yourself. Let it go.
it belongs to God. Who gave it to you in the first place? God. So God is saying, I want to have a full control, not partial control, full control of your life. So when you give your life to Christ, what you are saying is that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior. Lord, He is your Lord. So if you don't give Him full control, then in your life He is not Lord at all. He's not. So many of us, we are born again, but Jesus is not Lord at all in our lives. So He wants full control of your life. Jesus Christ should be in full control of all. Everything about us, He should be in full control. Everything. Sir, the way you dress, Jesus should be in full control, particularly our sisters. Full control. If truly you are born again, then your dressing should be moderate. Full. God, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's what the scripture says. And if your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, then the way you appear must glorify God, not put God to shame or His church to shame. 2 Sundays ago, I saw a sister coming in and I was ashamed of myself. But of course, if that sister were to be a worker, then we'll call her. I've called some sisters in church, the way you dress. Some of us, we put chain on our legs. What does that mean? And you are born again, you are a worker. I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense to me. You put chain on your leg. Is that style in the house of God? See, people that does that, do we identify them with the kingdom of darkness? Am I speaking to somebody this morning? It's not fashion, sir. You can be beautiful without the chains on your leg. You can be attractive without the chains on your leg. And this star was coming in and she was almost half naked from here, like this, up the back, down. And I was like, what is this? See, serious guys don't look for sisters like that. Am I talking this morning? If I'm not married, I won't go and marry somebody like that. I won't marry somebody that will come and be exposing my property to somebody else. It doesn't make sense. What I cherish and somebody else is seeing it free of charge, it doesn't make sense. I'm sorry I'm speaking this way. It will surprise you now that the way our sisters born again in so many churches, the way they dress now is, it doesn't make sense. I don't want to be using some words that are too, because somebody was saying this pastor sometimes he doesn't look as if he's born again because the way he talks. I talk like that because I'm married. So I'm married. If I'm not married, I'm married. I'm married for how many years now? My wife, how many years now? You know, women have a way of keeping dates. I'm telling you. They are very good. They are our archives. Very good in keeping dates. See, she's looking at me now. This is my, so you don't understand. You don't know how many years you are. When you get home, you understand. Let me not go there. Let me not go there. But please, sisters, enlighten us. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the world. You are a city that is set upon the hill. So every eye is seeing you. Your appearance should give glory to God. Your body belongs to God. When you give your life to Christ, you have given your all, your totality to God. Please, mind the way you dress. Don't dress to kill. You won't kill anybody. You won't kill anybody. I've never seen anybody that dressed okay that actually killed somebody. But the only thing that you will have successfully done, you will have successfully destroyed the hearts of some people who are not strong yet in the Lord. And God is going to ask you, you are also guilty. On that day when they are going to stand, a picture will be played, a video will play, that you see that brother will have been a great pastor. It was you that caused it. You are the one that caused it. Praise the Lord. One day I was there, they were doing Thanksgiving service, and one directly opposite me. So I had no choice but to put my head down and close my eyes. So I want to be sure that everybody has gone, so I didn't raise my head up. It's not good though. There are people, Christians, who are not as strong as others. And then what you have successfully done was that you have made that brother to sin for that moment. The word of God says, he that looks at looks at somebody, right? Lustfully, right? He has done what? So you are the lost that people are looking at. Let's make Christianity a beautiful place. Sometimes some of you are walking to the church and there are people who are not born again, and they would say, if this one is coming here, why do I have to come here? Oh, come here. I was in the airport yesterday, wanted to take a flight, and one sister, let me not say sister, one lady, because I don't know if she's born again or not, she walked in, and that was where I knew that even those who are not born again, they know what is right. Yeah, they know what is right. They know. They are not reading the Bible, but they know what is expected of a Christian. And I saw some Muslim guys, all these Nigerian Union, all these road transport workers, they were also coming down to Ibadan, about maybe 8 or 10 of them like that. They were wearing their maybe they went for a party. And then a sister walked, a lady walked in. My God. And then one of the Muslim guys said, I've been they were like, let's disgrace, let's embarrass this lady. So they were like, how in the world? Maybe when you go to America, maybe they accept the culture in America, And that was what Paul was saying. When there was trouble in church, they had to call Paul, Oga Paul, be coming to the Corinthian church. There is a problem. We don't understand what is happening here. This is not the culture. Maybe when you go to America, you can just walk around with just your. Wow. So the best time to surrender your life, to hand over your life to Jesus, is now. If you have not done so, and if there is no witness in your heart that you are born again, the best time to give your life to Christ is now. There is no other time that is now. I took a train from Lagos to Ibadan, and I was like, I wanted to charter a vehicle because it was already after 9 to 10. I actually missed my flight in Lagos. I had to book for another flight. They refused to refund my money back, so I have to. No, I didn't miss my flight. It was cancelled. I was there 2 hours before the flight, and I received a message. The flight, this is that. I tear for them, but I didn't commit sin. No, I just showed them that I have a right. So they say I will get my money in 40 days' time. So I had to go to another airline to go and book. And then we got to Monia. I was like, let me charter a vehicle to there because it's late. So I saw this Ajumoshe bus. I said, I've not entered this bus. So let me even enjoy. Sometimes you just want to feel what people are feeling. So I carried my bag and I entered. And then we came out of the railway. We got to the main road. And then within two minutes, an Okada guy came from the back. A trailer was coming in front, and he wanted to maneuver between the trailer and the Ajumoshe. And then the trailer hit the Okada guy, pushed the Okada guy to the front of the Ajumoshe. Ajumoshe also hit the guy. You could hear the bang. It was like a heavy stone. I was like, what happened? And then the Ajumoshe stopped and went down, ran to the back. Of course, he will see because he's a driver. Ran to the back And then I was down. Then I saw the Adimoshe driver on the other side of the road. I saw him running back. My spirit said, guy, better carry your bag and disappear from here. For this guy to be running, it means that man is dead. Anything can happen. So I carried my bag, and as I came down, I took 5 steps. I just said, Otipa, 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 and all these ruffians just came from nowhere. Scattered the Adimoshe boss, beat whoever is in the boss, and everybody ran. Some people forget their things and that. Now, what am I trying to say? That the best time to give your life to Christ is now. That guy did not know that he will die at about 10 yesterday. And there are so many people who died. Now, we never can tell when our own rapture will happen. We never can tell when our own Jesus will come. We never can tell when our own end will come. We pray, we will continue to pray, but everything is in the hands of God. I enter aircraft every time now, and I close my eyes. I say, Jesus, unto you. Because it's not a place you can jump out. And then when the plane wants to take off, I close my eyes. Say, Father, lift it up, lift it up. And then when the bar, I say, Father, I give you all the praise. When the plane wants to land again, Father, we are here again. Handle these pilots. And then when he hits the ground, I say, that's right. That's a good landing. That's a good landing. Father, we give you praise. He's in the hand of God. And we cannot say because of that we will not take flight. Some people are afraid of flight and they died on the road. Some are afraid of the road. They took the flight, they died. Nobody knows. The best time to give your life to Christ is now. The best time to change for good is now. The best time to surrender your all to Him is now. The best time to allow Him to control your destiny is now. Sir, it's now. It's now. Somebody say it's now. I'm telling you it's now. Because if you are not saved by Jesus Christ, you are not saved in this wicked world. You are not. If Jesus is not in control of your destiny, anything can happen at any time. Some people have died before their time. Some people have died before their time. If Jesus is not in control, anything can happen. But if Jesus is in control of your life, He will defend you. He will protect you. The covenant will work in your life. So the best time to give your life to Christ is what? It's now, sir. It's now. John chapter 1 verse 12. The word of God says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed in His name. So when you give your life, when you receive Him, you receive power. You receive power, sir. Somebody say, can you say after me that I'm born again? As if you are sure that you are born again. If you are sure that you have given your life to Christ, then you'll be confident to say that. But while I'm talking and your spirit is not witnessing to you that you are born again, you give your life to Christ, sir. No pastor has the power to save you. What has the power to save you is what is Jesus. He is the one that has the power to save you. And He's saying, deny yourself, carry your cross and follow me. I know what I'm talking about. I know the kind of world we live in. I know this world. I created this world. The only way you can be protected is to come under my control. The only way I can speak for you, the only way I can accuse the devil when he accuses you is when I know that you are for me. Because even the devil knows those who are gods. The devil knows those who are Jesus. The devil knows those who belong to God, who belong. The devil knows every one of us as we are seated, sir. You can't deceive 2 people, 3 people. You can't deceive God. You can't deceive the devil. You can't deceive yourself. So you know, the devil knows. God also knows. Can we bow our heads for 1 minute? 1 minute. 1 minute. You are here this morning as I'm talking. There is no witness in your spirit that you are born again. Can you lift up your hands wherever you are? This message is for you. Don't deceive yourself, sir. It doesn't cost you anything to give your life to Christ. It doesn't cost you anything. I'm not going to call you. I just lift up your hand wherever you are. This message is for you. Where is that person? Where are you? Where are you? Where is that person? Lift up your hand wherever you are now. All eyes closed. I'm not calling you out, but I want to connect you to Jesus. Where are you? Lift up your hand wherever you are. That person is not here. All right, open your eyes. I've done my own part in that aspect. Number two, purpose of his call. It's for expiation. Expiation. It means removal of our sin and guilt. Some of us, we are born again, truly born again, but the guilt of sin is in your life. And God is calling you so that he can remove that guilt of sin in your life. God is calling you so that he can remove that sin that is violating the law of God. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, the word of God says, whoever committed sin transgressed against the law. For sin is the transgressor of the law. 1 John 3, 4, verse 5 says, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So the sin of man leads to death. The sin of man leads to death. It leads to the death of man. The death of Christ leads to the birth of grace. Sin kills a man, but the death of Christ brought life. So the death of Christ leads to the birth of grace. That's what we see in Titus chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. So today, I want to stop my message here. Today, Jesus is calling you so that he can remove the guilt and the penalty of sin that is hanging on you. You know the areas you are still falling short of his glory as a Christian. You are born again. You still steal, you backbite, you change figures in your office. You do all sorts of things and you know that what you are doing is wrong, is bad. Today, repent. Jesus is calling you. In John chapter 1 verse 29, John the Baptist, seeing Jesus, said, the Lamb of God, we take away the sin of the world. So Jesus is calling us this morning. Calling every one of us. Can we rise up on our feet? Calling every one of us this morning. To do what is right. To do what will please him. He's calling you, sir. He's calling you, ma. So many of us, we are in departments. You don't come for meetings anymore. You are the reason why that department is not working. And you've not even told your HOD that you are no longer interested in working in that department. So you are disobeying God. There are some little things that you think does not count, but it counts. You are the reason why that department is not working. Can you lift up your hand to God? Tell Lord, I am sorry. I don't know which area I want to tell the Lord that you are sorry. But just go ahead and tell the Lord, I am sorry. And mention those areas in your life that you have made an error. Somebody go ahead and talk to Jesus this morning. He's calling you.
Amen.
You have just listened to The World of His Grace through God's choice servant. We believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join God's choice servant in life-changing services at the Life Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samunda UA Road, Ibadan. Every Sunday service, 7:30 a.m. Lighthouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.